Hebrews chapter 11, and we want to conclude this mini-series of messages that we've been on that we have entitled, what have we entitled it, Bestie? I'm trying to think. The journey is the destination. Sorry. I'm thinking about lunch already. Sorry. The journey is the destination. Hebrews chapter 11. You should have seen the look Sheila gave me when I said bestie, and she's like, what? All righty. We said that the journey is, in fact, the destination as believers, that we should not live for a certain particular earthly destination. We should not always be wanting to get out of one season of life and just diving into the next season of life and then getting that over with and then going to the next season of life. We said really enjoy the journey because that is truly your destination. Now, we looked at the life of Abraham. We looked at Jacob as well. And we saw that those guys kind of moved from place to place to place, that they pitched their tents temporarily, but that they build permanent altars on their journey. And that's what we do spiritually, right? We build permanent altars to the glory of God, and we should, our journey as believers should be marked with several altars as a tribute of what God has done for our lives. Who would agree with me on that note right there, right? That's what makes God's hand more evident in our lives, by us marking those moments, by building altars to the Lord in our hearts. Now, go with me to Hebrews 11. We're going to just go ahead and jump into the text here, because it is so important that we see what God has in store for us. Beginning with verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in what? Tents, or I think the NIV says pitching his tents, right? Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited, notice carefully to verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So what was his ultimate destination? He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Does that city exist here on earth? No. We call that heaven, don't we? Now, I want us to address that and think about that, because as we live this journey from season to season, to from place to place, so to speak, from moment to moment in this life, our motivating factor for doing what we do here should lie beyond the existence in the here and now and should rest in eternity. Amen? Amen? You know, it's been said before. I know back in the 80s there was this little cliche that believers kicked around quite often, that we should not be so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good. You know what I've discovered over time, as I've gotten older and as I've hopefully gotten to know Jesus better, is the more heavenly minded you are, you will be of greater impact on this earth. Let me say that again. I only had three convinced. The more heavenly minded you are, the greater impact you will have on this earth.
Amen.
Right? How many of y'all know that, like, say for example, your wealth, you can't take it with you, but who would agree with me that you can send it on ahead? Didn't Jesus say in Luke chapter 16 that when you give earthly material money, that to win people for the cause of Christ, that those very people in heaven will welcome you into their homes and thank you for your giving? Oh, I didn't know that was in the Bible, Pastor Joe. Well, thank you for coming to church. Yoo-hoo. Listen, we will be of greater earthly impact as long as we keep looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. I want to live my life with an eye on my journey here and with a focus on my destination there. Right? That's the best way to live. That's the best preparation to live life here on earth, is to be heavenly minded in a way that I know that this is just my temporary journey. I'm just a passing through. There is no COVID in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no suicide in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. There is no selfishness in heaven. There is no pecan pie. Wait. Let me rephrase that. There's pecan pie in heaven, but it has no calories or fat grams. Hot a la mode, Southern style. Who's getting hungry with me? That's my favorite. Just pray for it. Next month is Pastor Appreciation. Oh wait, get back to the message. Yes, well, I need to get heavenly focus, honey. We need to live, church family, with an eternal mindset. I think often, and I speak as much for myself as I do for anybody else this morning, we get so easily mired in the temporary, in the temporal of this life. Right? Something happens, it affects our mood. Something else happens, it affects how we feel. Something happens, and it ruins our day. You know what? Those days for me are behind me, where I say, this happened and it ruined my day. You know what? As long as I have heaven in my sights, nothing can ruin my day. Because my life, my destiny only looks brighter than the best life I can have on this earth. You know, there's that book that was written several years ago by a prominent preacher, Your Best Life Now. How many of y'all would agree with me that if this is my best life now, I'm in a world of trouble? Amen. For me and for you, our best life is yet to be. Amen. I mean, who would like to wake up in the morning and not have joint pain? No sore lower backs. Come on, somebody. No sore hips. You wake up and you're spry as a spring chicken. Is that the way you say it? You know what I mean. Mr. G, amen. You're as frisky as a tomcat. Is that better? I didn't get as many amens. That's right. We're going in the other direction. Now we're heading south. But listen, my best life is ahead of me. My best years are ahead of me, and that life will last for how long, church family? Forever. We are only here in this life for a very brief moment compared to what lies ahead of us. You know, the Bible says that when we become eternally minded, that when we lose fellow believers and they die, some of them prematurely, you know, we all have that hope that, you know, they're in a far better place. Can I get a witness on that? You know, I remember vividly that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 where Paul the Apostle says, we grieve, we mourn, not as the world mourns, because they have no hope. We grieve as people who have hope that we will be reunited with them in heaven. Amen. How many are looking forward to meeting loved ones in heaven yet again? Amen. Amen? I think my oldest daughter would tell you that she's looking forward to seeing her first child that she lost in a miscarriage in heaven. You know, sometimes you see Facebook posts that says, who's the person, if you could talk to someone in heaven, who would it be? People, oh, my grandma, my uncle, my mom. I'm like, Jesus? He's the first one I want to talk to. Right? I've played this scenario over and over. I think I'd just be a puddle of tears in his presence. for his goodness, his holiness, his graciousness, I would be speechless. What's that, Terry? Wouldn't have to say, I don't think I could conjure up a word in his presence. Wow. But listen, we are here and we must be looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. So yes, when it comes to grieving, we have hope. We look forward to the next life. But you know, sadly, I think that in a lot of cases, we Christians, that's where we allow our eternal hope to stop. Because when problems arise, then we're like, well, you know, once again, we get sucked into the temporary and we begin to think that this is as good as it'll get, that this crummy existence in this life is as good as it'll get here. And so we get depressed and we get down. Come on, somebody. I think somebody lost their glasses over here. But we get down, we get depressed because that's the extent of our hope. I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read it out of the screen here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I love that. We do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So look at the conclusion, verse 18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is what, church family? But what is unseen is eternal. I love the way Paul the Apostle contrasts our current troubles to what awaits us in heaven. He says, our light in weight, our light and momentary troubles are working for us, and I love the King James Version, an eternal weight of glory. So what we have right now, the bad, the crummy, the dumpy, the trashy, whatever, however you want to call life when it is not going our way, when life is not playing along, listen, we can say that that is momentary, that is light compared to what heaven, the weight that heaven holds for us. Amen? Heaven is better by far. Listen, even if I don't believe at all that in heaven there are bad days. I don't believe, even on a boring moment, and there will be none, I'll get to that shortly. Even on a boring moment in heaven, it'll far, far, far outweigh the best day of your life here on earth. That's how we need to live, church family. That's what should drive us. That's what should motivate us. That we are only here for a spell. But our destination is brighter than anything on earth. My life only gets better from here out. Can't we all just say that? My life will only get better from today forward. Because we have an eternal perspective. Now, some people think, you know, in my time of ministry, I've talked to a couple of people that they said, well, I just think heaven's going to be boring. And I'm thinking, you must not read your Bible. I mean, you know, you talk about prayer and Bible study, but you don't, really? You know, the Bible says that, how many of y'all would agree with me that the angels in heaven are holy and morally perfect? Right? They're not fallen. And there are angels that swirl around the throne of God. Rather, they're full of eyes all over. Their bodies are full of eyes. And they see more of God than we can with one set of eyes, right? They see much more of God. And it seems like with every sweeping fly over the throne and they see the Father, all they can say is holy, 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 holy. Because they see new aspects of God's holiness with every flight. And they are all eyes. How do you think it'll be with you and me in front of the throne with only one set of eyes? All we'll be doing is holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. I don't know about you. I don't call that boring. Well, will we be chubby little angels strumming little, harps on a cloud? Read your Bible. Listen, everything, the atmosphere will be charged with God's love. It'll be charged with joy. It'll be charged with peace. It'll be charged with faith and confidence. There will be no competition. There will be no one-upmanship. There will not be this or that. It'll just be pure, unadulterated, uninterrupted love for our God and for each other. No boring moment in heaven. Right? Now, it is important, church family, listen to me, it is important that we have this hope that is anchored behind the veil of this existence that goes into heaven, because Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, that if we only hope in Christ in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. Think about that. How many of y'all hope in Christ in this life? I do. Yes. Right? Is Jesus your hope while you're in this life? Yes. Well, it better be, because this is all you've known. I don't believe that you were something else before in a previous life, and that in this life, you know, that you evolved into something of who you are. But listen, I hope in Christ in this life, and He has never let me down. But if I only hope in Jesus Christ for this life and not the hereafter, I should be pitied. I should be felt sorry for. Because my Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and for how long, church family? Forever. And this Jesus, listen, I'll only get to know Him better. You'll only get to know Him better. You'll only get to know Him more until the day we see Him face to face, and faith is replaced by sight. That's the way I want to live. I don't want to get so stuck right now in the mud of the temporary, of the he said, she said, of the this is happening, and you know what's going to happen with our government, and what's going to happen. You know, baby, come next week as we talk about the future of America as described in the Bible. Who would like to know the future of America as described in the Bible? Come next week. Had to throw that little teaser trailer in. First Peter chapter 2. Let's look at that passage. 1 Peter 2, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. You know what we are in this life? We are a priesthood. What do priests do? Don't they tend to altars? We build our altars because we are a priesthood to God. But notice the second half of the verse. We are also foreigners. We are strangers in this world. Listen, church family, we have a dual citizenship. Did you know that? I have a dual citizenship. I am a citizen of the great country of Mexico. I'm also a citizen of the better country of America. I was hoping for some amens on that, but you patriots. Yeah, thank you. We have an amen over there. And I have two citizenships. I can go to Juarez if I want. I can go to interior Mexico without a passport because therein lies my citizenship. I was born in that country, and I can also drive freely in the United States because I am a citizen, and I have a job, and I pay taxes. Thank you very much. See, I know how to pander to the audience. One of these days I'll be able to say, and I own my own gun, bless the Lord. Right, Terry? And I know how to shoot those rifles without Terry's instructions. That's an inside joke. Yeah, I didn't pay attention to him one time when he came out so we can shoot the rifle and shotgun, sorry. Okay, anyway, where was I on this? Gosh, I keep losing my place. Thank you. We are dual citizens. How many of y'all know that we have a dual citizenship? That we're temporary citizens of this world. Emphasis on temporary. But church family, listen to me. That citizenship will expire. Our true citizenship lies in heaven. You know, I can travel around the world, get my passport stamped, pam, 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 pam. But this citizenship expires. It comes with an expiration date. Listen, I am looking forward to the day when my true citizenship kicks in and I am with Jesus and I'm with my loved ones forever and ever and ever. Amen? That should motivate us. So in closing, so because I have an eternal mindset, how will I see people who do not know Jesus? For starters, how will I see them? Will I see them as dirty, rotten little sinners? Am I going to be judgmental? Am I going to look down at, or am I going to see them as people for whom Christ died, that have every right to hear about Jesus as much as we did, and have every right to go to heaven now that the price has been paid for?
Amen.
Amen? That eternal mindset will not let me see them as anything but someone for whom Christ died and is worthy now of heaven by the blood of Jesus. Right? How many of y'all say, well, this is decent teaching, church family? All right. Listen, and so again, I'm going to see even the most menial, mundane tasks here in this life, not as all bottom of the totem pole. I'm going to see them that if I do them in the name of Jesus, to his honor, that Jesus is taking note of what I do right now. Right?
Right.
Didn't Jesus say that if you give a cup of cold water to a prophet, that you will receive that prophet's reward? Am I making this up?
No.
Right? Didn't Jesus say that in so much as you've done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me? So can I say that nothing is above, beneath me rather, as a believer, that I should do any and all tasks that need to be done in honor of that name, because he will, he sees, and because he rewards? Yes. I'm going to close with a story. I've said it before. I think it's appropriate to close with a story. I was at a church in Kansas. My young family and I were at a church there. And, there were some twin brothers that were higher functioning autistic brothers. And they would walk all over the place. They called them the Walking Brothers. Their last name was Roberts. So they called them the Roberts Brothers or the Walking Brothers. And so they would get up from the nursing home up the hill there in St. Francis, Kansas. They would walk down to the town. They would go to the jewelry store, get their watches synchronized. They were like clockwork. I mean, everything they did was very rote, very routine oriented. And then so our church was their stop for them to go to the restroom. And because of some of the medication that they were taking, I knew that because I had spoken with the administrator of the nursing home that, they had some maygaze in their diet. And any nurses, maybe Miss Rob could understand. Well, you're hiding behind Brent there, Miss Rob. You understand maygaze, right? So our church was for them to stop to use the restroom. Well, one day the brother was holding it in, and he couldn't hold it in long enough. And so our restrooms were in the basement area. And so they went, he rushed in down the stairs, because my office was right next to it. And there was a big window, and I could see the lobby area of the church from there. So I didn't think much of it. I thought, you know, well, he had to go. Okay, cool. They left, and later that afternoon, I go down, and there's this horrible stench that permeated throughout the entire basement of the church. And I'm talking, it was bad. And so the closer I got to the restroom, the more powerful, the more stout that stench was. I look in and I'm like, ah! The I don't know why the church had that carpet in that restroom, or the floor carpeted, but all that was all over the floor. And I said, not a problem, we have a custodian, so I'm going to go call the custodian. You know, be the responsible pastor. And so I call her. I remember her first name, Edie. She was our custodian, but she also drove the bus for the school. And so I called her, and she said, oh, I'm sorry, I have an extra route this afternoon. I won't be able to make it in to clean that up. So, Pastor Joe, why don't you clean it up? And my lightning fast mind couldn't think of anybody else. And I thought, if I have to ask somebody else, then I'm not a good leader. So I said, okay. So I go down to the custodian's closet, and they have these big waiter boots. I did. My mama didn't raise no fool. I put on the gloves. I even put on one of those masks. This is way before COVID. I put masks. I even had goggles on. And so I'm going in, and I have this like this. It almost seems like something that you would. I put a robe on top just to be sanitized. And so I get a squeegee, and I'm squeegeeing that thing to where the drain is, and I'm trying to pour water with a hose down there. And so I'm, with every squeegee thing, I'm smelling the stench, even through that little mask. And my goggles are fogging up, and I'm thinking, you know what I thought at that moment? Because at the previous church, they asked me to stay, and they would give me a $10,000 raise per year. And I'm thinking, I should have taken it. I should have taken the money. And they promised, they not only did they say, we'll pay you $10,000 more a year in cash, they said, we'll pay for all of your seminary schooling. I'm thinking, Lord, I really should have. You know, I'm having this internal dialogue with me. And then it seemed like the Lord spoke to me at that moment. True story. I've never forgotten it. And he said, Joe, what if my will for you was to sit in a room doing nothing at all with your life, but just sit there, and in so doing, you would bring me maximum glory? Well, you know, you have to understand, I'm a doer. I'm a go-getter. I'm a type A. I'm driven. I'm a driven person. That would not jibe with me, but if that's what Christ's mission was for my life, you know, how many of y'all know you do what he wants? And I said, Lord, I would have to do it. And he said, listen, he said, ministry is not just about preaching. Ministry is doing anything and everything for me. And I was brought up short. And he said, I'll never forget it. It's almost, you know, like you have, how many of y'all have heard that still small voice on the inside? Yes. Don't make me feel like, you know, Jamestown or Jonestown. And anyway, but he said, then get after cleaning it. That was it. I've never forgotten that. Nothing is beneath me if I do it in the name and in the honor of his name. Amen. Amen? Amen? Nothing. So Jesus, I want my reward. Better be a good one. How many of y'all were blessed with a message this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. Thank you for your precious word. Help us, Lord, to go from place to place to place, pitching our tents, but always building our altars and always with an eye looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. We pray this in Jesus' name.